Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the first and the second stanza. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows, Psalter 417, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 10, the verses 22 through 42. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 10, beginning with verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, as say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, that it has pleased thee to grant the opportunity for the second time on this winter day that we and our dear children may come up to thy house and receive a place under thy word and eternal testimony, and then by renewal as a people, then we attempt to open our unclean lips and call upon thy thrice holy name and beg of thee a forfeited and yet so necessary blessing. And wilt thou fill our hearts with that profound reverence, that deep humility, when we approach unto thee the highest majesty, who was everything in thy hands, also our lives and our breath. And when thou withdrawest thy hand for one moment, then we are no more, then it becomes eternity. Lord, then how good thou art unto us and our children, where thou grantest so many blessings and so many privileges above most of the people upon the face of the earth, also outwardly in the midst of all the trials, then thou granteth many precious gifts, and above all, that we may still have the truth of thy holy word. And then we have heard out of thy holy word that on a winter day that thou wast walked in Solomon's porch. Then we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou also walk amongst us, that sinners may be converted, that poor and needy souls, that they may be fed, that they may be refreshed, the discouraged encouraged, the comfortless comforted. Those broken reeds, thou wast promised that they shall never be broken, and the smoke and flaxes, that they shall never be quenched. Wonder-doing God, wilt thou then do wonders in this evening, and where thou walkest among a people, they can never remain the same, either humbled or hardened. Lord, may the prayers be multiplied for a great work in the midst of us and our children, that thy kingdom may come, and that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down. To that end, do bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Wilt thou grant many aarons and hers, who is sufficient unto these things. Bless thy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers. And bless thy word in the Christian school. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established churches, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, mission work, also our mission field, may thy word richly be blessed. The labors are manifold, the labors are few. May it please thee to thrust out men converted, called, and sent by thee. May it also please thee to grant more teachers for our Christian schools. Lord, remember the manifold needs. Do remember and uphold all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, the children that have no father, the children that have no mother, those that have brought children to the cemetery, and other dear ones. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how empty those places are, how difficult also to continue, but do uphold, do grant that special place at thy footstool, and that the callings may be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones. Most of their life is gone by, coming closer to eternity. There shall be many reminders. Word is not as it used to be. The infirmities of the body and of the mind increasing. And to that end, above all things, oh, the need that our souls are saved by a work of a triune God. Remember our Bethesda, all the residents, all those that may lovely care for them, work by thy Spirit richly also in that place. Remember the sick and afflicted by renewal, the handicapped daughter in the hospital. Do remember her together with the family circle, and do remember all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. May all the means be blessed. May the prayers be multiplied, and that it may be used, that many sin-sick souls are brought under the care of that heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the saving of their souls. Remember all the handicapped. Remember those that struggle with weakness of mind, where everything can seem so dark and so impossible. Do grant that they then may bow their knees and open thy word and humbly ask for light and for courage. We commend unto thee all those that struggle with addictions and temptations. May the means be used. Wilt thou grant help? Wilt thou grant deliverance? Wilt thou bless all the family circles, that love may abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children, when it is not so? Wilt thou grant a bending of the knees and a turning to thy holy word? May thy word exhort its rich blessing in the midst of our family circles, we remember our country, federally, provincially, and locally. Oh, do remember and bless our community with an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, those that we do no longer see in thy house or seldom. Oh, may they come to themselves, and wilt thou be mindful of them. Lord, keep us and our children under that old truth, and may it be by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Spirit, that experientially we may be given to experience that truth, because it is a truth that can set us free, as it is declared in the Holy Scriptures. Wilt thou remember man and beast in the winter weather? Wilt thou provide for our daily bread when there is a great need? Wilt thou send a raven? And now in this evening hour by renewal, we humbly beg thee for thy gracious help. Strengthen out of Zion and send help from the sanctuary, and do go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, from dwelling to dwelling. Remember those that are sick, that could not come up to thy house. Wilt thou grant healing? Then we humbly ask thee, may thou walk amongst us, not because we deserve, our Lord. If thou would deal as we make ourselves worthy of, then also in this evening hour thou would have to pass us by. But, our Lord, in thy mercy, do remember us and our children. Have respect unto thy covenant. Send thy light and thy truth to be our guide. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 422, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My mouth shall sing for A, thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record, and what follows. Psalter 422, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 13, the question and answers 33 and 34. Question 33, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. Question 34, wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Answer, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. Lord's Day 13 speaks of God's only begotten Son, our Lord, with three thoughts. In the first place, the Son's divinity revealed. Secondly, the Son's grace extended. And thirdly, the Son's authority reflected. God's only begotten Son, our Lord, the Son's divinity revealed, the Son's grace extended, and the Son's authority reflected. Beloved congregation, Lord's Day number 13 deals with the second part of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. And then the Apostles' Creed begins, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. And that believing, that is not an historical faith, although historical faith is necessary and a great blessing, but that speaks of true saving faith. And we have learned from Reverend Hellenbroek the three characteristics, that is knowledge, assent, and trust. And that true saving faith, that works a holy activity. We have heard it from the Canaanitish woman. When she has heard of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the wonders that he has done, then boys and girls, what did that woman now do? Then she sought out Jesus, laid her case before him, was given to plead his own word, and remained at his feet till she obtained the desired blessing, where Jesus was given to say, O woman, great is thy faith, and her daughter was healed. Thus the necessity of the true faith? And how is it with our believing? Do we many times ask ourselves, what do I really believe? Do I believe everything that is written in God's Word? Has it now become reality that I am the lost sinner who needs to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of His dear Son? And now, Lord's Day 13, we have already, and we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, that the mediator must be known in five ways. Necessary that we are founded on the old truth, but indispensable that we learn those five ways experientially, that the Holy Spirit makes room for those blessings. And then our young people, and of course fathers and mothers, then they know those five ways, that He must be known in His names, in His natures, in His offices, in His states, and in His benefits. And then we have already heard of two names of the mediator, the personal name that is Jesus, because He has come to save His people from their sins, the official name, Christ, has been anointed with the Holy Ghost to those three offices, prophet, priest, and king. Thus far the explanation of two names, and in that second name, His three offices. And now in Lord's Day 13 and 14, there is spoken of the mediator's two natures. In this Lord's Day is human nature, and in Lord's Day number 4, His divine nature in this Lord's Day, and in number 14, His human nature. And then we have already heard from Lord's Day number 6, that it was necessary for the mediator to be human and divine. And then we have heard it was necessary that the mediator would be divine in the first place to sustain His human nature, because no human nature is able to bear the wrath of God. In the second place, that in a short time He could merit salvation for His people and give that salvation to His church in the way of application. And then further, that is King, by word and by spirit, to gather His church, to preserve His church, and to defend that church against that triple-headed enemy, and that is the flesh, and that is the world, and that is the devil. And now when we read concerning the only begotten Son of God, then we must put all human thoughts to the side. Because when we think of begetting, when fathers and mothers receive children, that means that the parents were before the children, and the time that the parents were without the children. And now in the history of the church, then already in the fourth century in the beginning, then errors have crept in, and that especially it seemed to begin in the city of Alexandria, that is a city in the north of Egypt on the southern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The minister was called Alexander, and he had a deacon by the name of Arius. And that deacon, when he read the scriptures, when he read those terms, we find it six times in the Bible, the begotten Son of God or of the Father, and then he has understood it too literally, and then he is taught that the Lord Jesus Christ was not from eternity, thus not co-eternal and co-essential with the Father, but that he was the first created creature. And then in the church, there has come a great division, because Alexander, their minister, has taught according to the scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the second person in the divine Trinity, and that he is from everlasting, that he is from eternity. And that contention is spread, that even finally the government, the Emperor Constantine the Great, that was the governor, that was the man that became the ruler of the Roman Empire in the year 313, and then he has sent royal ambassadors to that city telling them that there must come a solution, they must work together. But then it was realized that it concerned the truth of God's word. And to that end, in the year 325, a synod, they called it council, we call it the Synod of Nicaea, was called. And there they have examined the truth concerning the divinity of the second person. 318 were gathered. Constantine the Great has opened the gathering. And then Alexander, he had with him also as a delegate a young deacon by the name of Athanasius. He was a very fiery man, and after much debate he has stood up and based upon the Holy Scriptures, proving that Christ was the second person of the divine Trinity and that he was from eternity. And then many were banished. Arius, some years later, that the sister of Constantine the Great has influenced him. And then Arius was called back. But the Saturday evening, before he was to be reinstalled, he suddenly died. 381. Then at the Council of Constantinople, then a creed was written up, written in the back of our Psalter, the Athanasian Creed. Although Athanasius died some years before, a word is so clearly declared that Christ, the second person of the divine Trinity, that he is co-eternal and co-essential with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. And with that, the heir has not died. Although it was born in the Eastern Church, with the center is Constantinople, the Western Church it was Rome. But even in this day, there are those that hold on to the same heir, maybe a little different than Arius, as proclaimed, and then we think of the Jehovah Witnesses. Jehovah Witnesses teach that Christ was not from eternity, but that he was the first created creature, and through him the worlds were made, and that he is equal to Michael the archangel. Thus then we see the errors that have crept in the early church. They reappear in different forms. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Thus then the question is, boys and girls, Christ is called the only Son of God. And when we speak of only, then there is only one. But how can it now be in the Bible that God's people are also called the children of God? And then the instructors, the answer based upon the scriptures, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. Thus he is the only Son of God. And what a love of the Father that he was so willing to give us only Son who would be crucified, that there may be a church gathered unto the Lord. In the second place, eternal, as we read in Proverbs 8, verse 23, that from everlasting he was set up. The second person of the Trinity, co-eternal, all three persons from eternity, and co-essential, the same essence, and that all the same attributes are ascribed unto him, and it is revealed in the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Attested in the scriptures by the Father in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, with his baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and similar words on the Mount of Transfiguration. Attested by the Son. Oh, when we read the Gospels, then Christ is spoken that he was the Son of the Father. And we have heard it out of John 10, verse 30, that Christ and the Father are one. Even attested by the devils in Matthew 8, verse 29, then that man possessed with the devil, then he has said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And then different places by the church. Oh, then we read of that Nathanael under the fig tree in John 1 verse 49, that he was the Son of God. And then think of the confession of Peter on behalf of the disciples. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 16, verse 16. And then concerning that term, only begotten Son, that is not to be fathomed, not to be understood, must be believed. We read in Proverbs 30, verse 4, what is a son's name, if thou canst tell? And then we read in John 5, verse 26, what is understood, what is meant by that term, the only begotten Son of the Father, then Christ has expressed it so. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And in Hebrews 1 verse 3, O be in the brightness of his glory. And that is proven in the scriptures by his name. When we think of Isaiah 9 verse 6, then he is called God. Then all the divine attributes, they are ascribed unto the Son. Let us only mention his powers in the miracles that he has performed. Then concerning his works, read in John 5 verse 17, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And then the same honor is ascribed unto the Son in holy baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And because Christ, he is divine, the second person in the divine Trinity, there lies the only hope and expectation for us and our children. Because in that way that he was divine, and we hope to hear it out of Lord's Day number 14, where he has assumed our human nature. He was that mediator between God and man to merit salvation for his church. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? Since we are also the children of God. What does that refer to? Does that include his congregation? Because the instructor says, he asks, since we are also the children of God. Have we now become a child of God? Because by nature we are not. Read in John 8 verse 44 of the devil. Then what must take place? That our instructors are given to point to in this Lord's Day. How that by God's free and sovereign grace, we may become a child of God, delivered and saved from all of our sins, and at the end receive a place in heaven to eternally magnify and glorify the Lord. Then we read, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we, and those are the people of God, are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. Oh, then in the scriptures, then natural man is described, Ephesians 2 verse 1, dead in sins and trespasses. Ezekiel 37, oh, the prophet in a vision. He saw a large valley and all dry and dead bones that needed to be quickened. In Romans 8 verse 7, that carnal mind that is enmity against God. And now the wonder that the instructors may speak of. We are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. We read of that adoption in different places in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 6, the verses 17 and 18, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And in Galatians 4, verse 5, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children." Thus then the difference, Christ, the natural Son, and the true people of God, they are adopted children. And boys and girls, what a privilege and what a blessing it is when we may have a father and mother. The Lord remember the half orphans in our midst. And then when we think of adoption, then we can draw many lines to the way that the Lord gathers his people. Upon this world, untold number of orphans, many in times of war, many because of sickness and other reasons, natural disasters, and then still a privilege and a blessing when there are orphanages where those orphans may be cared for. Although many struggle with lack of food, clothing, and poverty, lack of help, that those orphans do not have such a pleasant life. And now, boys and girls, we can picture such an orphanage. Boys and girls lacking much, but let's say in such an orphanage that it stayed at times that a king would come to visit such an orphanage and that he would take some orphans along because he had a large realm, many loving families that would take care of them that had plenty. Then if you were in such an orphanage, what would you do on those stated times? Then I think you would say, then I would come out to the court where the king would come and present myself. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and more so as we see the day approaching," where the Lord declares in his precious word that he adopts his people by word and by spirit. And now that adoption, where does it flow forth from? What is the cause? What is the origin? Is that now the free will of man, of dead man, of fallen man? Or is it God's free and sovereign grace? Oh, in a natural adoption, then it is the choosing and the decision of the parents to adopt a particular child. And many times, even from a very far place, a faraway country. And so we do not read of a people, and that shall be experienced, what it is, oh, that distance and that separation. Do we not read in Psalm 61 that from the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. thus a very far country, and most adopted young, does not exclude older ones. Lord is free. Oh, you have heard before of Luke Short, a young man raised in England, and before he left for America, under a sermon of Reverend Flavel out of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. And that young man, after that Lord's Day, he has immigrated to the States. There he has prospered, not seeking the Lord. Believe he did not even go to church anymore. It's an awful thing, of course, when we are brought up under the truth, to leave that truth. But what has now the Lord done? He was 100 years old, and we know most people do not become that old. But when he was 100 years old, the Lord brought that sermon back as an arrow in his heart. He was convicted, brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And the Lord has given him some years yet to tell the wonder of free and sovereign grace. But young and old, may we be given to seek the Lord early while he may be found. Then many times, then it costs a lot to adopt a child. But oh, these spiritual children of God, the price. We read in 1 Peter 1, the verses 18 and 19, not by gold or silver, corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The instructors, they stated, because he hath redeemed us both soul and body from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. And then, ah, the children of God, then they can find so many similarities with children that are adopted many times when they are a little older. Such children have many inferior thoughts, many fears, especially when they have went from one place to another. Then what a fears there can be that by renewal they shall be given up. The true people, those adopted children, what a fears they have to that end. We find in the scriptures approximately 65 fear nots for those adopted children. Think of a Ruth. In Ruth 2 verse 13, when Boaz has spoken to her, then she was given to confess a handmaiden, although not like those other handmaidens. Oh, those adopted children, they shall receive much love from the family. Of course, for a little child, and we read in Matthew 18, verse 3, except ye become as a little child, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then such a little child shall not be aware what takes place. But when they become older, then they shall learn to say father and mother. In the moment of regeneration, then such a soul is adopted into the family of God. But it is needful that they are led further, understand the price. And we read of those further leadings in Romans 8, verse 15, that they may be given to say, Abba, Father, that they come to a knowledge of Father the same as with those adopted children. Oh, then they learn the same language. Then those children, they are included in the will of father and mother. Then oftentimes they dwell on the past. They resemble their brothers and sisters. And oh, the further leading and blessing that they may come to a knowledge of the eldest brother through whom they have been redeemed and adopted. Since we are children of God, has that now taken place, congregation? Have we now become a child of God? And we read in Romans 8, verse 29, that those children become conformable to their eldest brother, whereby the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, they have a desire that father and mother may be honored. And as proof thereof, why callest thou him our Lord? Let us first sing. Psalter 125, the first four stanzas. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. And what follows, 125, the first four stanzas. God's only begotten Son, our Lord. The Son's divinity revealed, the Son's grace extended, and thirdly, the Son's authority reflected. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? And Lord, that means to be possessor, owner, master. The Canaanitish woman, each time she has addressed and spoken to Jesus, then she has addressed him as Lord. Even under discouragements, cutting off words, then that Canaanitish woman was given to confess, thou art still my Lord. And that lordship does not depend upon the faith of the child, but for the comfort, then it is so necessary and profitable to be given, to experience, to reflect upon what the instructors have stated. Oh, think of a Thomas with his discouragements. 8 days later, he was in church. And then when Christ has revealed unto him with those pierced hands and that pierced side, his priestly office, he was given to exclaim, my Lord and my God. And now the blessings of that lordship, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and has delivered us, the church, from another master, from all the power of the devil. Instructors do not say, from his temptations, from his assaults, and from his mockery. No. That shall come to the end at the day of their death. But have been delivered from the power. They no longer belong and are the property of the devil, but they are the property of the Lord through the price that Christ has paid. And now in that lordship, there lies many a blessing. There lies provision. There lies care. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. And that lordship lieth their protection. Do we not read in Psalm 91 verse 1, that abiding in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then in that lordship lies their guidance, because the Lord has promised in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Then in that lordship, there lies an inheritance which Peter has spoken of, undefiled and passeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. And now those adopted children, then they are given to call him Lord, their master with a vehement desire, to follow the good shepherd in sown and unsown ways. Oh, do we not read in Exodus 21, verse 6, of that slave, but that the slave has confessed the love to his master, and to that end his ear has been bored through. Thus the privilege, and further, and that hath made us his property. It's the blessed portion of the adopted children of God, young and old, then each time by renewal. Then it is the question, should be the question, when we draw nigh to the end of another Lord's Day, to which people do we belong? There are two peoples, two ways, and two destinations. And if that wonder has never taken place, then we are still on that broad way. Oh, then do ask the Lord that he may adopt you, that he may take you under his gracious care, that you may become partakers of what is written in answer 34. Then we shall be blessed indeed. And people of God, what precious things are written in this answer, and how the needs be to be instructed in the things of the Lord, not only to experience the fruits of adoption, because that shall be experienced, but also to be led into the foundation. And that is the work of the Son, as the way to the Father, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then we need a work in our heart. We need a new heart. Boys and girls, have you asked for it? A heart that hates sin, that loves the Lord, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To make that clear for our boys and girls, especially for our little children that have not heard it before, because an outward change, may the Lord keep us from the world in grieving the Lord by our world conformity, but we need a heart work. I have read of a family, just like our families, father and mother with boys and girls, and that in the springtime they have found a coyote pup. And then father has said that coyotes do much damage. Maybe they had sheep. They kill sheep and other animals. But then the children have begged father whether they could keep that pup. And of course, fathers and mothers, they like to make their children happy with lawful things. And I hope, boys and girls, that you do your best to also make your father and mother happy. Thus the children have asked whether they could keep that coyote as a pet, and that it could become a watchdog. And indeed, very obedient when the children played, coyote watched over them, and even on cold winter nights as tonight, then that coyote would lay faithfully before the door as a watchdog, would not let anyone enter the door without the permission of father and mother and children. But that coyote still had the heart of a coyote. And then there were times on a winter night when in the distance that coyote heard a pack of coyotes howling, that it vibrated in his heart, all with the desire to join. Are there perhaps a few in my midst? Even in this evening hour in church. But that the call of the wild and wicked world that you heard, and it receives a place in your heart, and the world can be so strong. Same with that coyote. Oh, if there are young people, then you must read your Bible much and pray much and say, Lord, all wilt thou keep me. And of course, then when we listen to evil music and look at wrong pictures, then the cry only becomes stronger. Thus ask then the Lord, if the cry is so strong and so desirable, that the Lord may keep you under the truth, and that the Lord may grant you a new heart that may love the truth. But now, boys and girls, do you know what has happened? One morning, the family awoke, and no coyote on the doorstep. Then the cry became too strong, and the coyote left and joined the wild pack. Perhaps, it's not written, but maybe that coyote even became the leader of the pack and led that pack back to the family. He had received so much care and even killed some of the sheep. Thus a simple history for young and old, especially for our youth, where the cry of the wild and wicked world can be so strong and so tempting. Maybe one says, but the coyote left. But remember that coyote that was born in the wild, not in the church, and you in the providence of God have received that great privilege and great blessing to be born in the church, baptized in the name of a triune God, instructed in the things of the Lord, and to that end, the Lord remember us and our children, and we all know it is too short. We need to be born again, but the Lord has promised, under word and spirit, to gather his church. Oh, may it please the Lord. He's in a family when a child may be adopted. Then the family, brothers and sisters, are glad. And what a gladness there is in the spiritual family of God when it may be heard, experienced, that sons and daughters are born in Zion, the Lord granted for his covenant's sake. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace that there may be many additions to the living family of Jesus Christ. And where thou hast begun, oh, in the midst of all the riddles, all the questions, and all the fears, to be led into the precious things of the Lord, the price by which thy church was redeemed, the work of a triune God. Lord, thou was granted that we may commence in other week. The first day has already run its course, far its course, and we humbly ask thee, wilt thou graciously watch over each and every one of us, wherever we are called to be? Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, but above all from an unreconciled and an unprepared death? Wilt thou keep us under thy good care and thy kind protection? Ah, keep us from sin and temptation. Lord, may we be found to be more a praying and a begging people at thy throne of grace. Wilt thou now dismiss us in thy favor? Grant traveling mercies. Bring us to our dwellings in safety. And wilt thou also be the faithful keeper Israel in the night watches, who slumbereth and sleepeth not, and that we may awake in the morning hour refreshed, when our duties call us by renewal. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, also our official duties? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 431, the stanzas 1, 4, and 6. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthem sing, glorious are his ways, to his name give praise, with a harp and timbrel, and what follows, 431, the stanzas 1, 4, and 6. they save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.